This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Morning, he brought my letter back.
She wrote upon it,
return the sender, address unknown, no such number, no such song.
Oh yeah, return to the sender, little Elvis Presley. We need Elvis around now to sing to us because we're all at home. We're all worried about this virus, and we're worried about when it's going to end. And if Elvis was around, we'd feel better.
Elvis tested positive for coronavirus?
Yeah. Elvis has not left the building, friends. Oh, goodness. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, Elvis impersonator, Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for joining us on this Friday morning, March the 20th. By the way, did you know yesterday was the first day of spring? Nobody gives a hoot, but it was the first day of spring, and it came early. It came on the 19th. Think about it. Why did it? We'll explain later why it came early this year. But we're into spring, and we're going to be talking, by the way, in a few minutes with Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about ditching federal regulations that currently are hindering our fight against the virus. You know, we got all these regulations and bureaucracy and red tape, and it slows us down, you know, and everybody wants to hurry up and get the virus figured out. So we're going to talk about that. And while Italy has now got more deaths from this virus than even China, President Trump gets very good marks from the American people about the way he's handling this scourge. We're going to talk about that with the proprietor of the only poll that really matters in mainstream America, the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci. Stay tuned for that. Also, we're going to have some thoughts on the overall shutdown of businesses countrywide, you know, with restaurants and bars. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Is it the right thing to do? Are the beaches, should they be off limits here in Florida? We're going to talk about all of that a little bit later in the show. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10. So now you're holed up at home because you can't go anywhere. You don't want to congregate. So you got to figure out what are the best snack foods, you know? I'm going to ask Ed what he would snacks on. I'll tell him what I snack on. But we have the top 10 best snack foods. We'll see if Ed, who is, by the way, an expert in snack foods, we'll see if Ed can figure it out. By the way, we're sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, for the best virus haircut you can get, you got to be in shape, right? You got to look good for the virus. I'm being funny about that. But Andrew's Master Barbershop is really a great place for you guys for a great haircut. It really is. And by the way, he cleans everything. He is a germaphobe. So if you're worried about getting a haircut, I can tell you not to worry. You can go to Andrew's Master Barbershop. You'll get a great haircut, and you'll probably come out healthier than when you went in. Now, it's located in Dunedin on State Road, just off the corner of State Road 580 and Overcast Drive, just north of 580 on Overcast Drive in the Overcast Plaza, Andrew's Master Barbershop. Also, you got time on your hands now, right? You're not going anywhere these days, why don't you listen to our past shows? You can go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, OurFreedomWorks.com, and you can hear any show you like. We got them all on there. Ed sets up all the shows, bless his little heart, on our podcast, OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, I don't know where to start. You know, it's getting tiring, I guess. You want to talk about something else, but it's all connected to the coronavirus. I mean, even in sports, I mean, we could talk about, you know, here in Tampa Bay, everybody's excited because Tom Brady's coming to town.
The country is. What are you kidding?
And there's nothing else going on, but even that, it takes a back seat, doesn't it? Are you excited about Tom Brady? Of course, you like Jameis Winston. I guess
yeah, right.
You'll be saddened to see him go.
Not only is he hunkered down for the virus, he's also jobless right now.
Yeah, I guess, are they going to let him go for sure?
Oh, yeah, that's a done deal.
It's already done, yeah. Are you surprised?
No.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Remember, we talked the last time we talked, we didn't know where he was going, Tom Brady, and you thought he might be going to the Chargers,
right.
I think. And you made a good point, because he's got some Hollywood connections.
It was so close. It really was. It was almost like a coin flip. And actually, you know, we were second on the list. I think he wanted to stay with New England, but when he saw the top free agents go and the Patriots didn't get him, he knew his time was done there. And he wanted to stay on the East Coast because his family's on the East Coast, and that was the done deal.
Also, you know, if you come to Florida, your taxes are less. If you stay up there in New England, so that should not. Los Angeles in California is a very expensive place to live. So he might have also been thinking economically about that. Anyway, we're going to talk in a few minutes with a guy that is going to tell us a little bit about why we need to get rid of some of these federal regulations that are actually hindering our fight in the coronavirus. His name is Ryan Young. We've talked with him before. Very knowledgeable gentleman, and I'm looking forward to it. In the meantime, are you waiting for your check? Are we going to get a check in the mail? Is that how this is going to work? Saying lawmakers need to take bold and swift action, ASAP. Mitch McConnell, our beloved Senate Majority Leader, yesterday introduced a bill that will provide as much as $1,200 per person and $2,400 per couple in America during the coronavirus outbreak. Now, apparently, it would provide minimum payments of $600, and aid would be phased down at adjusted gross income thresholds. Here's the deal. I'm wondering how easy this is going to be to find everybody. The truth is, I think it's going to be a mess. I think it's going to be an absolute mess. There are going to be people that don't get their money, and because they don't get their money, they're going to be mad. And they're, you know, and there are people that are shifting addresses or they don't have a firm address. How are you going to get the money to them? I mean, this is why I think you shouldn't try to send checks out. It never works. I don't think it's going to work. I really don't. We'll see. I think the intentions are good, and I guess people are excited. But, man, don't hold your breath on the checks. Do not hold your breath on that money coming in. Perhaps there are other ways of doing it. Deductions, you know, like they're talking with your payroll taxes, so that when you get your check from your boss, you're not seeing as much of your money going into a tax. It's staying with you. It's temporarily, you know, we'll worry about it later kind of an attitude. Anyway, the rebate amount on this thing is slated to be reduced, listen to this, by $5 for every $100 where a taxpayer's income exceeds the threshold of $75,000 for individuals and $150,000 for couples. Who's going to figure all of this out? How are you going to get? Maybe I'm crazy, but I don't see how they're going to do this.
Well, we're going to see other things that we've never seen before too. Just locally here, Duke Energy is not going to go through with any termination of services. You know, getting your power shut off because of non-payment.
Excellent idea. Right. We're all
the sheriff's department is not evicting anybody for a month.
And can I go rob a bank because the sheriff department will allow one robbery per person?
Credit card companies are looking to roll back payments and stuff like that with no penalties.
There's
talk that card into the loan companies for cars are going to do that too. And you know, through this whole time, just keep in touch with your debtors or whatever, your creditors, and keep them up to date. You know, they understand what we're all going through. Not just Florida. It's not a hurricane. You know, we're all going through it. So just keep in touch and say, you know, I'll pay as soon as I can, and, you know, keeps it off your back.
Yeah. In fact, the income tax deal, although you have to pay still if you owe, but you don't have to send in it. They're gonna slide that whole deal too.
That's 90 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, got to send the money in. So it's kind of like, well, if I haven't figured out what I owe,
right,
I still got to figure out what I owe.
I think they'll even if you're late on that, I think they'll waive that.
Yeah.
So I think everything seems to be working. We just get through, through this. Let's suppress this thing, and then we all come back, and you see the stock market will jump back, and all the stores back open up, and there'll be toilet paper everywhere for everybody.
Toilet paper for everybody. That's my motto. All right, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, we'll talk with Ryan Young.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshew.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works, and we thank you very much for joining us. We are here, by the way, every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday on the Great Tantalk Radio Network, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We're hunkered down. We're all keeping our distances from each other. We're trying to make sure that we don't have anything to do with the spread of the coronavirus. In the meantime, we're delighted to have Ryan Young join us by phone, where it's safe, from the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. He is a senior fellow there, and he focuses on regulatory reform, trade policy, and antitrust regulation, among other things. And he's done a piece called Getting Rid of Never-Needed Regulations Hindering Coronavirus Response. Ryan, welcome back.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I'm always delighted to talk with you. And you have written a piece that I think perhaps the government is listening to, or at least is following some of your ideas. And the concept you have is we got a lot of these regulations that are slowing or would slow the response to getting rid of this coronavirus. And you go down a list of some ideas I think are very, very good. Do you think that the federal government is now, and Trump in particular, is now looking to slash some of these regulations that are hindering our efforts?
I think they'll go after some. I don't think they'll go after all. But as we go down the list of rules, I mean, there's some that are that were maybe obviously hindering coronavirus response, or even just making life more difficult for those of us who are stuck in our homes. A lot of those were maybe never needed in the first place. Why were they there? Restaurants needing permits to be able to serve takeout instead of people eating in the inside the restaurant. Well, if restaurants are closed right now, there are still cooks and still kitchens that are able to feed people. Why are the regulations stopping them? And even before the coronavirus hit, why were those rules in place at all? What good do they do? They were never needed. So we've started a campaign on Twitter using the hashtag never needed, where people are pitching in their own ideas. And we've got people giving us examples from Germany, from the UK. There's one from Florida where they're repealing occupational licensing regulations that make it difficult for people to work from home. Now, these are most of the actions actually at the state and local levels.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the ideas that you penned out were rather interesting. Remove tariffs and other supply chain barriers that prevent healthcare supplies from getting to where they are needed. The FDA should significantly ease its process for approving vaccines, treatments, and tests. In fact, is the FDA trying to do that right now, do you think?
They are. They are. This is temporary, and at least to some extent, this is as it should be.
Yeah.
But when companies come up with a new product, instead of going through years and years of testing, the FDA is saying, if this has a proven track record, then, okay, we're still going to look at this, but we're going to, as long as you guys are confident in it and have some degree of confidence as well, you can go ahead and start helping people. And we'll pick up the rest of the pieces later. Another idea I have is that there are a lot of treatments approved, not just for coronavirus, but for other diseases abroad. And if a government we trust, like the EU or the UK or Japan, says this treatment is safe, the FDA should automatically grandfather that in. They've already done the expensive approval process and compliance paperwork.
Yeah, why do it again, right? Right.
Yeah, and they should do the same for things that we've approved and they haven't. Those kinds of arrangements that, and going forward, are not just a good policy right now during a national global emergency. They're just a good policy idea, period. And those are the kinds of things we're looking for right now.
Right. We're talking with Ryan Young from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, where he is a senior fellow, and he focuses on things like reforming our regulations, trade policy, and antitrust regulations. You know, it's interesting, Ryan. On the one hand, we're pitching and talking here about reducing regulations, and then on the other hand, and I guess it's a necessary evil, we've got the federal government almost going socialistic with certain things. We're going to send money here, and we're going to send money there. Prior to your coming on, we were talking about and Mitch McConnell's on board, a Republican Senate Majority Leader, of sending out checks to people. And I'm thinking, wow, that sounds like a liberal, Bernie Sanders kind of thing.
Yes, some of that can be counteracted by removing occupational licensing restrictions, making telecommuting easier for some jobs. There are permitting regulations that make it difficult or even impossible. That can only go so far, and while I'm skeptical of any hasty flash policy that comes out of Washington, people need help, and there's a lot the private sector can do, such as landlords saying, you know what, if you're unable to work right now, if you're a restaurant server or something, and business just isn't what it was, maybe we'll spot you this month's rent or just pay me when you can, that sort of thing. Just small generosities that people do for each other. That's far and away the most important thing we can do.
Oh, you're absolutely right, and I think people are doing that. I mean, they realize that common sense tells us, the poor guy's not working right now. I can't suck money out of his wallet when he doesn't have it, so I think everybody is, we're all in this together kind of thing. Do you think Donald Trump is, and I don't want to put you, in an uncomfortable situation, does he seem to be handling the situation with the authority that he has in a way that an organization that supports business would be comfortable? How's that for a question?
Well, there's a difference between being pro-business and pro-market. He can be very pro-business when he wants to be. From my point of view, that's a little dodgy. Bailing out this or that company instead of laying the groundwork where we have the institutions in place for an ongoing competitive market process that makes it easier for companies to enter and exit and help people and serve customers and create value. What we're seeing right now is just essentially bailouts for airlines, bailouts for car companies.
Is that a good idea to bail out these different industries all of a sudden? It's sort of a knee-jerk reaction, it would seem to me.
It's very hasty, and that's why we're using the term flash policy to describe these very sudden, impulsive responses to a disaster. To the extent that a lot of the airlines and the car companies' difficulties are caused by Washington policy, it remains an open moral question. If when basically a force de majeure, like coronavirus comes around and hurts companies already in a weakened position. But I'm very much against bailouts. I was during the 2008 financial crisis, and I am now. But I recognize that some people do have decent arguments, even if I don't agree.
Sure. Then I hear people complaining, well, you shouldn't be sending any money to corporations. Send it directly to the people. The corporations are out to get you. You know, that kind of mentality. And I'm thinking, well, wait a second. You got to keep businesses which employ, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, overall, millions of people. You got to keep them going. So, you know, on the one hand, I don't want any bailouts. But if you're going to send money to anybody or work out some sort of a deal, it would seem to me that you would work it through the businesses, which then filter it down to their employees. Now, I don't know if that's the greatest idea, but it seems to me more sense than trying to. How are you going to find everybody with a check? I mean, the truth is, I can't figure how they're going to do this. I'm almost surprised. I'm almost surprised Mitch McConnell, in his great wisdom, is even talking about doing something like this.
Well, the IRS has that data. They can just look at everyone's AGI, adjusted gross income, and then give you a check based on what that number is. So computationally, it's not too hard if they already have all the data they need.
Yeah, but are you going to reach everybody?
Razor precise.
Are you going to reach everybody? Yeah. And what about the people that don't get the check? Now, if I didn't get a check and my, you know, my buddy got a check, I'd be upset.
Yeah, well, that and from the Obama administration, there was something called Operation Choke Point that forced people in politically disfavored businesses like medical marijuana or a lot of lending agencies, things that were politically unpopular back then. Regulations essentially forced banks to refuse to do business with them, so their businesses operating and people operating without checking accounts. If you send them a check, what are they going to do with it?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's an example of a never-needed regulation that's really hurting people right now.
Yeah. So I guess once, you know, now no one's ever gone through this before. God knows I haven't. I've been around a long time, and I never remember anything like this. We've had some disease warnings before, but it was always, well, yeah, but it's not going to affect me in this country, you know. But this one is worldwide, and we are worried, and we don't know how this is going to play out. So it seems like we're just kind of, should we be doing this from the federal government down or from local governments up, you know? It's always, I was always taught the closer the government is to you, the more efficient and the quicker it can respond to you. And in this case, are we looking to the federal government, do you think, to do too much?
I think we are. I think you're absolutely right. Change begins at home. I mean, not even with the governments, with people. You know, check on your elderly relatives. If you have neighbors who need help, you know, make a grocery run for them. Make yourself available.
That's
if you
a good
need
point.
Help, mm-hmm. you know, don't play the hero. It's okay to ask for help if you need it. Wash your hands. Things like that. Change begins at home. Beyond that, for government, state and local is where most of the action is going to be as far as getting rid of never needed regulations, enforcing curfews, encouraging people to stay at home, those sorts of things.
Sure.
There are limits because after a few weeks, everyone's going to get cabin fever, and the efficacy of quarantining everyone at home,
true.
Frankly, could become a legitimate psychological public health issue.
You're right.
The individual level, the state and local, and the federal response is frankly limited. Washington is so big and so clumsy that it is inherently unable to give fast and flexible crisis response. It's just not part of its capability.
Yeah.
And people need to realize that. Don't look to Washington for leadership. Look closer to home.
I think you're right. And I think, you know, from Washington, maybe we can get inspiration. And from the local governments, we can get perspiration. In other words, let them do all the work. And at the top, just kind of, you know, if we keep a positive face on this, you know, it's like Roosevelt's fireside chats during World War II and some of these other, you know, where you just tried to calm everybody down. That's what you can do best. But the local governments and the states, you know, perhaps that's where more work is needed to be done. And you say?
Yeah, I mean, there's still mm-hmm. plenty to do at the federal level. The FDA just lifted a rule that prohibited doctors from practicing across state lines.
True.
So if you're in Rhode Island, it is illegal to practice in Massachusetts, even if it's just two blocks away.
But now you
can. That rule is being Yeah, that rule is gone now. That was a never-needed regulation that's gone now.
And should stay off even when we get over this, right?
It should, yeah. That's why it was never needed in the first place. People are finding hundreds of examples of this, and I encourage people to take to Twitter and put up their own ideas. Just put the hashtag never needed, and we'll do what we can to publicize it and get it around.
Ryan, I got one final question for you, and it's a theoretical one. It's a theoretical one. What if the federal government didn't do a damn thing during this whole thing, other than we were kept informed of what was going on, but they didn't make any rules, and they allowed the free market and the state governments to run it? Now, my question is, do you think if that was the case, we would be better off or worse off?
I think that is a really good question.
I know, isn't it?
Because there is a federal rule, a lot of existing barriers. I mean, there is no free market. So there's a lot for them to do for removing unneeded barriers, like those medical licensing across state lines, or the fact that we have tariffs on medical supplies that are preventing them from getting the people who need them. There's a lot for the federal government to do with that.
Yeah, but it's taking away. Right. It's taking away things rather than adding to things, right? I mean, what you're saying is what they can do is uncouple. Is that kind of what
exactly.
you're saying? Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, I mean.
Very good, Ryan. Very good. I've enjoyed this conversation. I know we're going to get through all of this, you know. Hopefully, maybe in a couple of months or whatever, we're going to look back and say, you know what, this might have been our finest hour, or one of them, in terms of the way people came together. But I want to thank you for coming on. Please keep safe, and I know we'll talk again.
Of course. Thank you so much, Paul. Yeah, stay safe. Help each other out, everyone.
Exactly. Thank you, sir. All right, Ryan Young. Very good. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Andrew, the master barber, is going to find his way onto the phone to talk with us a little bit about the job that Donald Trump is doing.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, Bowling Stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. We are back. Freedom Works. By the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, we are here 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. We are awaiting our buddy, Andrew the Master Barber, to give us a phone call. He's probably busy right now. Who knows? But in the meantime, we got some good news on the stock market front. We're up about 270 points right now. So the stock market is reacting in a positive way. Equity futures may add to recent gains on the hopes that the government and the central bank action of reducing interest rates can shield the world economy from a looming recession. So, you know, we got some good news there. In the meantime, you know, the way the governors are handling this virus, they're all a little bit different. Right now, California Governor Gavin Newsom is announcing that he's enacting a statewide order for his nearly 40 million residents to stay home. Can you imagine seeing those interstate roads, those, you know, in California, with hardly any cars on them? Now, that would be a picture, because you think about it and how overcrowded Interstate 5 and all of those other huge interstates are in and around L.A., for an example. But he wants everybody to stay home. The order took effect at midnight today. It prohibits gatherings outside, any kind, no gatherings, and requires non-essential businesses to close. So there you go. And they got 60 million people there. How are they going to do that? You can't enforce it, but everybody's got to listen, right? He says we need to bend the curve. He says there's a social contract here. He says people need to do more. They will adjust and adapt as they have. By the way, he's been positive about what Trump is doing, and he and Trump don't get along. They're, you know, Gavin Newsom and he have had some spats. But he's been very positive about how Trump has responded. So that's good, you know. Another guy is here is our Florida governor, Ron DeSantis. Now, finally, they're going to close the beaches. Or have they done it already?
Close what?
The beaches. Have they closed the beaches in Florida
finally
already?
They finally got the hint. They're going to do that at 11:59 tonight.
They are tonight.
And that just means the beach, not the businesses.
Right.
And the way they're going to enforce it is feet in the sand.
And will they shoot you if you accidentally step into the sand?
I think it's just
maybe
tasing.
Just wound you.
Just tasing, yeah.
So we had all of these, I guess these college kids, you know, it's a rite of spring down here. They come down to Florida, and Clearwater gets a goodly bulk of them. And they were all over the place. And everybody around here started saying, what's going on here? They're all laying around next to each other, you know, like hordes of young people spreading the virus. Now, I wonder if any of the, and you never know, but I wonder if it had been spread at all on these beaches.
We may not know for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we won't.
We saw that Wednesday when our local city council here decided they were going to shut the beaches down on Monday.
That's what I thought they were going to do, wait until Monday.
Yeah, and then
and have the weekend.
Somebody with an IQ above 50 realized that why wait till Monday, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the news was out there taking video and interviewing, and they're jumping all over each other. You know, kids playing at the beach, you know, and interviewing some of them, and they're just not worried about it.
Well, they're kids.
Well, yeah, but they're not worried about it.
They're
you know?
The same. They're, you know, they're the ones that you worry about driving cars because they don't think anything bad's going to happen to them. They're young, and they haven't figured out what's going on. Reality hasn't set in. I suspect if I was a kid and all of this was going on now, I'd probably want to go down to the beach, too.
You know, I think at this point, we need to know what is going to be open and what's going to be closed. Because Andrew's not coming on because he has to go to Home Depot and hoard.
That's probably
they're closing
right.
at 6 o'clock.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
So he's going to gather up all he needs now.
I don't blame him. But he's going to hoard?
Well, I'm picking on him.
I know you are.
He's always saying people are, you know, getting crazy. But we need to know what's going to be open. Because, you know, if they shut down, they start shutting down the grocery stores, what are we supposed to do here?
Well, they won't.
Okay, well, where are we drawing the line?
One line is going to be drawn that we keep the grocery stores open. Now, they may limit the hours. But people, well,
wouldn't that
people have to eat.
Well, I know that, but wouldn't
they cook?
Okay, but I guarantee if you go to Lowe's right now, that store is jam-packed. Is that what you want by creating that kind of no. hysteria?
No, you don't.
And it now it amps it up to a different level. I don't agree with that. I don't. I think Lowe's should require all of their employees to wear masks and latex gloves from the minute they would walk in the door, wash their hands, sanitizer, and do that.
Okay, and then just allow the public to come in. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
As opposed,
what's the difference between that and a grocery store?
Well, the difference is, of course, you got to eat, whereas you don't have to do a carpenter's job or whatever.
Well, they
right
don't
away.
Just sell lumber anymore.
No,
they
true.
Sell batteries. They sell cleaning products. You know, there's
yeah.
light bulbs, whatever. It's not. I'm not building a treehouse, so
I tend to agree with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I know.
I think all the stores.
I mean, you don't need wood to board up your windows because a hurricane's coming. But
right.
I disagree. I'm starting to get where you're creating panic, and the panic does not equal the amount of deaths from the virus. H1N1 had way more than this, and we did nothing but wash our hands occasionally. Nothing.
Right. I think you tend to be right. The one population we're worried about, I think, the older, vulnerable population.
Right.
And in a way, you can kind of understand they have to be shielded. Now, maybe they just are told, you can't go anywhere. We're going to keep you here. We don't want you to catch a virus. You're much more susceptible to having something bad happen to you. But the rest of us, we're going to take our chances, I guess. We're going to take our chances. We are going to go to Lowe's or Home Depot or Walgreens, right?
You could walk into a gas station next to someone who's got it and you don't know it.
True. True. So if you were the magic sorcerer, would you just say all businesses... You're kind of on your own. You can stay open if you want, or you can even close if you want because it's your business.
Or now that this word came down that the government's going to start sending checks out, our business is just going to throw up their hands and say, send everybody home. They're going to get a check from the government. We don't need to be open. We don't need to pay your salary.
The thing is that these I'm worried about the business's survival. Many businesses can't afford it, right? Look at these restaurants that we talk about the time.
Okay, Paul, look, you walk into your favorite place. Do you feel, would it make you feel any better walking into your favorite place if you saw every employee with latex gloves on and a mask, opposed to not having anything?
Would it make me feel any better? Is that what you're saying?
Would it make you feel safer?
I guess so. I mean, if I see them, well, in a way, it scares me because I'm looking at them and I'm going, oh, my God.
Okay. But like,
and I don't have one on or something.
Like California can't congregate with more than 10 people.
Right.
But what's the difference of one person or no people in that group of 10 not having the virus and you walk into the grocery store or you walk into the gas station and you're standing next to somebody that's got it?
Yeah.
You know?
I would, and again, I'm just saying this as a devil's advocate. I would say that the answer is, it's like you got to eat.
Yeah.
And therefore, we have to keep it open, and we have to take our chances, and we hope that when you go in, you wipe everything down, and you stay away from the other customers, you know, that kind of thing, and then you go home.
The last hurricane we had, look how much hysteria went on when there was no power. And the grocery stores couldn't open. And people were really getting scared. Now, if you're shutting some of these places down for a month, your bar is set. Look, there's
Do you think the bar should stay open?
I don't. I agree with the nightclubs closing because when people get alcohol, they don't care about a virus.
Well, that's a good point. In other words, you keep your senses, is what you
exactly.
said. But that's the only reason you would close them?
Listen, that's kind of a luxury, and not saying that because people...
No, they go to congregate.
Well, people get a check from working in a nightclub.
They do.
Yeah, so
the
those
employees
people
are
going to
be losing out.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm starting to wonder now, some of these businesses are going to start closing down because now they're hearing everybody's going to get a check and we can close and we don't have to pay our employees for the month or whatever. It's just, I don't... It's not making sense to me. It's getting It's getting out of hand. I still don't understand the toilet paper run. I don't understand that, other than maybe they're going to start wiping their nose with it. I don't know, but there's plenty of paper towels out there,
too. There is, but people do panic. And if they see that there's, if they see somebody else doing it, then, you know, it's like at Christmas, some stupid toy that you wouldn't go after, except you see everybody else is going after it, so now there's a big fight. And how many times have you heard about that?
Yeah, and the first thing you think of when there's mass hysteria, like I think is starting to happen, is the first thing you think that falls by the wayside or starts to get, you know, people start to hoard is gasoline. You know, and gasoline right now is under $2 a gallon.
Yeah,
why is the gas still being able to delivered, but we can't get toilet paper?
I agree. Actually, you can get toilet paper. It's just that as soon as it gets out there,
Then
they got to run behind and stock again. Yeah. And then, you know, what I mean is everybody is buying, instead of buying one package of toilet paper, they're buying four.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw on the internet yesterday or the day before that people, and I've gone to Walmart, and the shelves are completely bare.
I know,
you're
right.
I've gone to Publix.
Me too.
And but you know what? There's a dollar store down the street. Plenty of toilet paper. It's the big stores that people are doing it to.
That's very interesting. Yeah. So you can still get it. You just have to know where.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's all kind of wild. And we're going to get through this. We're going to take our break, by the way, right now. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about why is Italy all of a sudden, why are more people dying from the virus in Italy than even in China?
Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby, do the locomotion.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final section, segment, I guess you would say, of Freedom Works. And we thank you so very much for being with us. Before we get to the Italy story, I think this is a pause. First of all, the stock market is about 217 points to the good right now. That's a positive. Another one, most people approve of the way Trump is working right now. After a bumpy couple of weeks, the approval of Trump's handling of the virus has been on the rise. A new ABC poll released today, 55%, 5-5, of Americans approve of the Donald's handling, 43% disapprove. A similar Harris poll, 56% approve, 44% disapprove. I think people realize that Donald Trump is trying to do the right thing. And I think they realize he's also surrounding himself with good people. He's got a couple of people, I think, that when they talk from that group that he has, Dr. Fauci and that lady, that people are very confident about what is going on. Now, in the meantime, why is it so bad in Italy? Italy's deaths from the coronavirus have now eclipsed China's. Now, China's got 1.2 billion people. Italy's got 60 million. And so Italy is still, you know, they're drastically trying to deal with it, but it's really, really a bad thing. The virus has infected at least one European head of state. Monaco's Prince Albert got it. Now he is you remember the actress Grace Kelly? That is Prince Albert. He's now 62 years old. But he's got the virus. Wow. He's continuing to work from his office. And let's see. But Italy, 60 million people, they've got 3,400 plus fatalities from the virus. That's about 150 more than China. Now, that's kind of amazing, isn't it? China's got a population 20 times larger. Now, why is it that Italy has had so many more people than any other country in the world? Well, one reason is because so many people pour into the country. It's right, you know, it's surrounded by water, and people come over from different countries, and Italy's got a huge influx, and I guess they just didn't, you know, keep the people out. Health authorities cited a variety of reasons for Italy's high toll. Key among them, a large elderly population who are especially susceptible. And the other thing is, did you know Italians are very touchy-feely, right? They're always hugging, holding hands, and this and that. And it's hard in their culture, apparently, to tell them to stop that. You know, don't do the Joe Biden. You got to be pulling away from people. So apparently that's part of the reason. When we had our buddy, the immigration consultant that came on. Yeah, Neville Kramer. Thank you. Geez, why am I not remembering? Anyway, Neville Kramer came on. And he said a lot of Chinese people go into Italy because they work there. And somehow the Chinese influx, in his opinion, had something to do with it. So that was very interesting.
I also read that 80% of the infected ones in Italy were above the age of 70.
Yeah, it's got a high, and they have a high elderly population, yeah. And that's true. And that's what we just said in here about that. That's one of the reasons that health authorities are saying that they have this problem. It's a large population of elderly. So let's not do what Italy is doing right now. All right, it's time to, now here you are hunkered at home, and you can't go out, so what do you start thinking about? You start thinking about eating, you know, and snacking. So what are you gonna get? Whoop, I'm dropping all my papers. Anyway, I thought this was kind of a fun one, you know. What are the top 10 best snack foods for people to munch on? And what they've done here, because you can't have one person deciding this, they did a poll. Now, how many people participated? I don't know. But it's the top10s.com poll. So we'll see just how accurate, Ed, we think that this really is. So get over on the drums. And without further ado, the top 10 best snack foods. Number 10. And I wouldn't call this a snack food, but cereal? But I guess some people, yeah, they go and they pour some milk on cereal and sit in front of the TV. So cereal is a snack food. Some of it is all sugar anyway, so it might as well be a snack food, right? Okay, number 9. Fruit snacks. And I think what they're talking about is not real fruit, but you know what, where you go and buy those packages of things that have little
Yeah.
Yeah.
The nuts and berries
exactly
and all that
right.
stuff.
Exactly. Like a fruit mix you can buy in the store. Okay. Number 8. Real fruit. Bananas. You have an apple. Grapes. Strawberries. You know, they are a snack. They're a good snack.
Because you eat the other, then you think, well, I want real fruit, and then you eat the real fruit.
That's correct. There you go. That's a good way of looking at it. Number 7. Tortilla chips. Now, I wouldn't eat a tortilla chip unless I had the dip.
Salsa, yeah.
Exactly. But you know what? That's actually not a... I've heard that tortilla chips and salsa is actually not a bad snack for you.
It's better than, like, potato chips and onion dip, you know.
Exactly right. Yeah. Right, you are. All right, number 6. And here's another one that's not that bad for you. Popcorn. The trick is not to pour too much butter on it, mm-hmm. I think. But popcorn, number 6, is very interesting. I like popcorn. Number 5. Cookies. Well, yeah. I mean, it's got to be there somewhere, right? What's a cookie? It is a snack. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Okay, number 4. Now, this is a good one, too, although I don't know how really good it is. But, you know, cheese crackers, and you have to, they're processed cheese, and they're always wrapped in cellophane. You can buy them in packets. You know what I mean? They're usually in the cookie section. Those cheese crackers in the cookie section. Ed, do you ever get cheese crackers, you know, in the cookie section where you can get those?
I haven't had those in years.
I don't know. Do you like them? No, not too much.
Sure, they've changed since I've had them. I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. Number 3. Hey, this one's been around for a while. Pop-Tarts. Pop-Tart. Remember you put them in the toaster?
Yeah, and then you burn your mouth when they come out.
Yeah. Exactly. Pop-Tarts. I didn't even know they still make them.
Oh, man. They look nothing like they. Remember, the old ones had a little bit of filling, a little frosting?
Yeah.
Now it's just all frosting and all filling.
Is that it? Oh, okay. All right. Number 2. Now, they separated this from cookies. Oreos.
That, to me, is a cookie.
It is a cookie. Of course it is. Do you like them?
Yeah, everybody likes Oreos.
I know they do. Do you like the white? Or they even got them in, like, different colors.
I haven't tried the other ones, but I think I tried a mint one time. It just wasn't right.
Now, Nabisco came up with those. I wonder how many hundreds of millions of dollars they've made on that. All right, Ed. There's one particular snack that was not mentioned. Let's see how observant. Now, I know that
whatever is left on the shelf at the grocery store.
Well, that's true. But I want you to actually, let's see if you can come up with. What do you think is the number one? What is the first thing, if you were going to snack, what is the first thing you would go to, that you would think to go to?
I would have said cookies. Potato chips.
Roll the drum. You are right. Potato chips is number one. Potato chips. Now, we got 400 different kinds of potato chips. Now that they come up with the idea of putting jalapeno flavor, and then they got sea salt.
Oh, you know a good one?
And they got
one?
Pepper. They got pepper and salted potato chips. What's going on?
Dill pickle.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Oh, it is.
Is it really?
Oh, great with beer. Absolutely.
Dill pickle?
Oh.
A dill pickle potato chip?
Yep.
I've never heard of it.
Absolutely.
Got to look for those. Listen, everybody, you got to stay safe. We're going to be back on Monday. Take good care. Drive carefully. Be kind to one another. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
Report coronavirus update.
We are not going to go for any bailout.